welcome to Wasting Time Podcast. I'm Chris.
Hello, Chris. A new look, Wasting Time Podcast.
It's about time we finally rebranded. It's been some time since we last kind of changed our look, so we have a new thing going, which I'm very happy about.
Yep. So I guess everyone should see it across our socials, a new logo, a new look and feel for the podcast, which I guess will be linked to a lot of things we're going to be doing in the future. Lots of exciting stuff, right, Chris?
That's right. Yeah, lots of new features, giveaways, fun things to kind of get the audience involved with us that we haven't really done before. So very excited about that. We should probably give a shout out to the third member of our team who's been working behind the scenes. Mr. Greg O'Grady's made all this happen. So huge thanks to Greg for all your hard work. It's been incredible what you've done.
Yeah, very talented man. So yeah, looking forward to that growing and flourishing. A lot more animated stuff we'll be doing as well, which looks really good. So
yeah, very, very excited for it all. And we have some other announcements around the podcast coming soon, so keep your eyes peeled for those.
What else has been going on then?
So for the listener, unfortunately, my co-host here has come down with COVID the last few days, which has been unfortunate, obviously, for him. But also, it was unfortunate for me because I was in the Northeast to, not only visit you, but the last part of our trip was visiting you and your family, which unfortunately cut short. That was a bit of a bummer, but you're doing okay now.
Big bummer. We're getting there slowly. I'm functioning more so than I was last weekend. So
yeah,
but very disappointed not to see you and your lovely wife up in the Northeast. We had some nice plans.
I mean, these things happen. It was a real shame though.
But yes, we will have to make a trip down south with my daughter at some point. Bring her down to London and
absolutely
show the big lights.
Yes. I'm doing okay, mate. Apart from that kind of hiccup last weekend, had a very good time otherwise. And yeah, no, all good. Excited for a lot of things we mentioned before around the podcast. Is there any music things you want to discuss?
I mean, there's a few new releases I guess we could touch on that I've been listening to. Frank Turner brought out his new album last week, which kind of lined up with his world record-breaking attempt of live shows. I think it was 15 live shows in 24 hours across 15 cities, all in support of kind of independent venues. And I think all the ticketing was done by independent record stores as well. So obviously Frank's always been a big advocate of the independent scene and world. So yeah, fair play to him. Congratulations. What about the record? Do you listen to the record at all, Chris?
Yeah, I've given it kind of just one run through. I need to give it another go. I thought it was okay. It didn't land with me straight away.
For those that like kind of Frank's more kind of folk punky stuff, I think it's probably more up their street. There's not as many kind of poppier, you know, big pop songs on the album.
Yeah.
It's not,
do you like it?
I mean, it's not really up my street, to be honest with you, but you know, again, like yourself, it's only had one listen of that. But yeah, definitely got a more kind of folk punky feel, I think, to some of his earlier records. Another track I'm really into at the moment, which I sent you the other day, is that new Dangerous Summer track. Like, it's got just this real kind of cool breaking into summer kind of vibe. It's called What's an Hour Really Worth?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's part of new album that's coming. I know there's been a couple of tracks released. I assume that's part of an album or an EP of some description.
I think it probably will be. Because their last full length, I think, was around 2022. Because I remember we got sent in advance of that because they were supposed to come on the show. And then for whatever reason, we never aligned the dates. So maybe we should get them on this album cycle.
Yeah, if there's something coming out. But yeah, no, that song, What's an Hour Really Worth, just captured me straight away, and I've had that on repeat a little bit. So go check that one out.
I've had that Super American song on repeat. Did you listen to it? I sent it to you.
I did. Yeah, not my cup of tea. If I'm honest.
I always know when I haven't heard back from you. I was like, oh, yeah, he's clearly not bothered about this at best.
No, are they a new band? Are they?
I first heard them about 7 years ago, so they've been around a little while. Yeah, they're a young band, but they've probably been around about going on for a decade now.
I can see why you like it, put it that way.
Okay.
More down your road than mine, I think.
I've forgotten what it's called. Let me just mention that to give them a shout out.
And the Store of the Year brought another song out.
One sec. Let me give my super American shout out. Manager Haircut, that's the new one.
Manager Haircut.
Yeah. Go on. What's that? Another story?
Yeah, they've released a song off.
Do you mean Story So Far?
Story So Far, what did I say?
You said Story of the Year, I think.
Story of the Year. Yeah, good track. I think I prefer the one previous that they released. Is it Blind Boy?
Big Blind, do you mean?
Big Blind. Yeah, that's the track.
You're not doing very well with pronouncing their name or...
I still got COVID, mate. I'm going to put my hands up. Yeah,
brain fog and all that. Fair enough.
Yeah, we'll use that. But yeah, again, is that part? It must be part of... Is it an EP they're doing, or
I heard on the grapevine there's a new record coming, a new full length. I think
we might hear more in a few weeks, I guess. Well, maybe we should just get into this episode then.
Yeah, let's do it. And timing is quite good on this one. So today's guest is Lolo, and Lolo recently announced her first full length, which is called Falling for Robots and Wishing I Was One, which is out quite soon, June 7th. And looking at the track list, it includes a lot of singles that are out already. So she recently released the song Kill the Girl. And if you go on streaming services and click on Kill the Girl, you get that and seven other songs, which I think are all part of the album. It's like 15 songs on the album. But yeah, Lolo's been around really kind of, well, since 2021, I guess. I want to say she blew up, like with doing covers on TikTok, and then Hopeless Records came in, put her on tour with the Simple Plan Newfound Glory tour, and she's kind of just gone from strength to strength since then. And yeah, I was lucky enough to have some of her time, and she kind of told me a lot about what has been going on and what the future holds for her. I think we can just dive into it. Thanks so much for being here.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, let me introduce myself. So I'm Chris. I'm one of the Wasting Time hosts, the only one that could be here today, sadly, but you know.
It's all good.
That's all you need.
You're good enough. We don't even like the other person. I'm just kidding.
Exactly. Exactly. So you're LA based, right?
Yeah. I'm from Toronto, but I live in LA now.
How long have you been down there for now?
I've been coming like for long periods of time since March 2021, but like I moved here in January 2022, and I put it in quotations because I'm like touring half the time.
Of course. Yeah.
Really only here for like at most 6 months at a time, but yeah.
Okay. Has it been a nice place to live, you know, during those periods where you're actually living there?
Because it's so sunny and like happy. Toronto, UK, it's like pretty like dark and gloomy.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Where are you? What city are you in?
I'm kind of like half an hour southwest of London. So, you know, I'm kind of London suburbs, but I'm near Kingston's my nearest town,
okay.
Which you may have heard of. It's got a big music scene, but I'm kind of like local to London as well.
Nice.
But yeah, I almost crossed paths with you one time actually, because there was, you'll probably remember, there was a Hopeless Records mixer at a place in Shoreditch just before Slam Dunk. But yeah, I didn't get to say hello to you there. It was
were you there?
I was actually there. Yeah, yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah, it was a busy occasion.
It was very busy and it was so loud. I remember that. I remember I was scared I was going to lose my voice, so I had to leave because I was like yelling over the music, and I was like, I have to sing tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah. First Slam Dunk appearance as well. Like, obviously, you know. Before we get into that stuff, I'm just curious, like, so now that you're based in LA doing music full time, what's a typical day / week look like to you when you're not on tour?
When I'm not on tour, it would be like wake up, walk to the gym, come back, do either like an interview like this or film TikToks, unfortunately, and then go to a session at 1, be done around 7, eat dinner, rinse and repeat.
Okay. When you say session, do you mean a writing session?
A writing session, yeah.
Okay. Do you have like regular writers, or do you kind of like have meetups with other people around LA and stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I do have people that I work with more often, but a lot of the times it's like I'm walking into a session meeting someone brand new for the first time. I also I'm not always doing writing for my own project. I also am signed to a publisher here called APG. Okay. So they put me in sessions with other artists, so writing for their projects, and also just like pitch sessions. Like I'll yesterday I was writing a K-pop song. So it's like,
oh, really? Wow.
Yeah. So I do a lot of like songwriting for others as well.
But speaking of your own stuff, obviously we're not that long since Poser was released, the EP. How's that been received?
Yeah, it's been fun, like putting out, like I finished all of these songs before my tour in the fall. So they've been ready for so long. And now it feels good to just like release them slowly, slowly. And I'm excited because my next single is when we're announcing my album coming out. So that will be a long time coming. And just like, I'm so excited to just, everyone's been like, when are you doing an album? When are you doing an album? So I'm excited to tell them. but yeah, it's cool. Poser was like it was a little bit more like indie alt girl rather than, you know, a little less like rock, more like indie girl. I don't know how to explain it, but that's how
it felt. I know what you mean.
So it was it was a fun one to do.
What's your favorite song on it?
Oh gosh, probably Hot Girls in Hell, honestly. I feel like that's like my favorite song, but that or You and the Tin Man, which is the next one. Those two are probably my favorites.
Let me wind things back a little bit to the kind of like growing up in Toronto. What were like some of the music you kind of grew up, the first music that you were into growing up in Toronto?
So I was like obsessed with Green Day, Avril Lavigne, and Hilary Duff. Those were like the trifecta that I was like obsessed with. And then I was also obsessed with musicals. Like Annie was like my favorite thing. So like, and The Wizard of Oz I loved. So I had like a Wizard of Oz CD, Green Day CD, a Hilary Duff CD, and the Avril Lavigne CD. And those were like the things I would cycle through as like a young, young child. Which I honestly feel like it kind of is a very accurate amalgamation of what my music has become today. Like, you know, if Hilary Duff and Billy Joe Armstrong had a kid, could be me.
That would be Lolo. Okay. Yeah, that could makes be sense. Lolo.
So, yeah, I don't even, like, I don't remember how I got into that stuff. But, yeah, I don't know who, I literally always ask my mom, like, who told me to buy a Green Day CD? Like, for, I mean, I didn't buy it, obviously. I was like six or whatever.
Right.
But I was like, my mom's like, I don't remember even. She's like, I don't know. She's like, I think we went to the CD store and you picked it out. I was like, okay, I had taste. But like, I don't know what would have possessed me to do that. So it could have just been a happy accident. I could have been like, ooh, there's a red heart on this CD. I'll take the American Idiot one, please. I don't know.
Got you. I have, I have seen you elsewhere cite that they're like your favorite band. So are they like, if there was like one big artist with it, I assume it would be them still with it.
Yeah, they're like my all time favorite. Like I go through phases of like right now I'm really into Boy Genius. Like I always have like a new favorite like currently, but I would say like top number one would always be Green Day.
Would be Green Day. I actually went to, do you know, Billy Joe Armstrong has that band, The Cover Ups, that he does with like Crystal.
Oh, were they? Because, yeah, he's so jealous of them.
Yeah, I went to, they did two shows in London. And this, you're going to hate me, I'm not the biggest Green Day Billy Joe fan as well. I was, my friends were opening, so I was kind of invited with them. But like, don't get me wrong. I was grateful to be there, and I don't have anything against Green Day. I think Billy Joe Armstrong's an amazing person, a great rock star and stuff. It never really clicked for me.
Are
personally.
You a Blink 182 guy?
I am massively a Blink 182 guy. Okay, yeah, so called that straight away.
So that's why, because it was either or. Like I remember growing up, it was like you were either a Green Day person or a Blink 182. It was never both.
And it's so funny. It still kind of continues to this day.
I think it does. I think it totally does.
Yeah, because for me, you know, I'm a bit older than you, I think, you know, like, so like I was maybe 11, 12 when Dookie came out. So I was old enough to be into it. And it was just, I thought it was fine. And then when Animal of the State came out when I was 16, I was like, oh my God.
That makes sense. I get that. See, I was like, I wasn't so into Blink 182, but I always liked them, but I didn't know. I don't think I had the CD. So like growing up when I was a kid and I was just like listening to Green Day, that was like, I guess I just got used to them. But I knew like some of the songs, obviously, just like growing up around the scene. But like, and now I obviously know all the songs. But I think I feel like I got into them more also when I was older. And I was like, okay, now I can just like YouTube it, you know?
And I saw you talk about in another interview that you kind of crossed paths with Green Day randomly in a bar. I mean, I loathe to make you repeat yourself, but yeah, if you could just share that story real quick.
No, and
you're if since then there's been any other kind of crossing paths with them as well, obviously feel free to add that.
Yeah. So, well, I didn't really cross paths with them by accident. What happened was I stalked them. No, I'm just kidding. this producer that I did my whole like first couple EPs with was staying at the Sunset Marquee. And I was out with my friends at this karaoke birthday party. And the producer messages me and he just texts me Green Day at hotel. And I go, what fucking hotel? I need an address immediately. He says, Sunset Marquee. I didn't even say goodbye to my friends. I called and the fastest Uber black SUV. I was like, I don't care how much money I'm spending to get me out of here. Like ASAP, like the fastest car. And I called it and I was literally at the Sunset Marquee in 5 minutes. I just happened to be like 5 minutes away. And then I walked through the door and my producer's like, wait, what the fuck? How did you get here? And I was like, why do you think I asked for the address? Like, I'm coming. I'm meeting them. And right as I walked in, this friend that I have that used to work at BMG, so he knew Green Day, was like, oh my God, you're here? Green Day's here. What the fuck? Because he knew I love them. And I was like, no way. And he's like, I have to introduce you. I was like, okay, sick. And he introduced me. And it was actually only Billy Joe and Mike. Trey was not there. But I went up to Billy. We got introduced. And I was like, I know this is LA and we're not supposed to do this and like fangirl over people. But I have to tell you, like, you are literally the reason I make music. I love your stuff, blah, 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 whatever. And he was so nice. And we ended up like, there was just like a small group of people at this bar. And then like when the bar closed, we all went into, there's like a studio downstairs at the bar and we like listened to music and we were dancing.
Amazing.
I literally like spent the night with them. I Uber Eats McDonald's. I got Billy a, what did he get? Like a McDouble, whatever the fuck. But we ate McDonald's together.
Oh, whoa.
It was, I had like, I was chilling with them like all night. It was like the best night. And then the next day, the next day we were like Instagram friends and he told me that he checked out my music and he liked it. And I was like, I could die now. I don't know.
That's
what
incredible.
Else, like, I don't know where else I'm going from here, but
right. What other highs can you hit after that? Right.
Peak happiness. Yeah. So, so that was really cool. I've seen them one other time. I saw them a year later at, Rob Cavallo, the producer of like all those songs.
Yeah.
I met him that night too. So we ended up being friends. So I got invited to his birthday party. And funny enough, Billy, like the Cover Ups band, they were performing at.
Oh, were they really?
Yeah. So they performed at the party. And so that was really cool. But yeah,
I wonder how similar the set was that you got to the two.
It was probably different because it was like it was like a year ago.
Okay. And so they had a chance to change it up. Yeah.
It was probably different. And then Rob went up and did some songs and stuff. But yeah, it was really cool. It's just like, I feel like so many people are like, don't meet your idols, like, because you're going to be disappointed. But like, I feel like my idol is the coolest guy ever. And I'm so happy. I'm so happy about that because like, yeah, he was just so nice and like knew that I was an aspiring like artist and like could not have been like any nicer. So it was really
well. Cool. I get the story checks out because my friends who opened for him, like they're like you, they're like, he's their idol and they've just said the nicest things and just they're on cloud nine still. And he's been sharing their stuff all over Instagram and stuff. And they said the exact same thing. Don't meet your idols unless your idol is Billy Joe Armstrong. So there we go. You know,
I hate hearing when like you like someone and you find out that they're an asshole. And it's like, oh, it just ruins them for you.
Oh,
so I'm happy that didn't happen.
Has that ever happened to you? Although you probably that's not one you're going to want to share publicly on the podcast.
Not one I would share, but I mean, I actually did go to a concert of someone that I really liked once, and I guess he was in a bad mood. I won't say who it is because I feel bad, but he was in a bad mood and was kind of mean to the audience. And it made me not like him anymore.
Focusing back on your career, just so in those early days, like when did you know that you had like this killer voice? Was that something that you were kind of aware of as quite a young child? Or
oh my God, no, I thought I don't think I had a good voice as a kid, or I like growing up, I literally like couldn't pronounce my R's, so fucking loser. So I like couldn't, I wasn't really like, I just, I never knew I had a good voice. I would always audition for the school play. I never got a good part until maybe like grade five. But even still, then I would like be in my camp play. I wouldn't get a good part. But then I think I realized that I had a good voice when I was in grade eight, like just about to go into high school, because I got Annie in the play Annie. And I was like, oh, you have a good voice? Like, this is crazy. Like, how did I get that part? And that's when I kind of also started having more confidence and stuff. But like back in the day, I don't think I thought I had a good voice. I mean, even now, like, I think I have a cool voice, but I mean, I'm not like an Ariana Grande Mariah Carey, like, you know, doing the riffs and shit. But I feel like I'm a better songwriter than I am singer, if that makes sense.
Oh,
like,
interesting.
I can sing, obviously, but I feel like what makes me special as an artist is like my songwriting. Because like, I'm like, not like a crazy belter or anything like that, you know?
What stage did you start performing open mics?
Like 16, I guess. Or no, sorry. Maybe 15. Yeah, whatever. 15, 16, like around then. 14 to 16. Whenever you're starting high school, how old are you? I don't know. Yeah.
did you kind of like build up like some kind of small following from doing that in those days? Or
no, I mean, I don't think so. I think that I also was just learning guitar. Just like, I probably was terrible at the open mics. I remember like sometimes there was like three people in the room, but I was kind of just doing it to like meet other people in the industry, because once I realized I wanted to do this, I was like, I also realized I knew nobody. My parents knew nobody in the industry. Like, I just didn't know where to begin. So I kind of did that to like hope that like maybe someone would be watching me, and then like, whatever. And it kind of helped. It did help me meet people, and it helped me meet like my producers that I first started working with in Toronto.
And obviously, correct me if I'm wrong on any part of this, but from my understanding, it was kind of like, you know, like during the pandemic when you really kind of attracted attention through the whole TikTok thing. What I'm curious about is, before that moment in the pandemic, what was life like for you? Like, sort of back in 2019, 2020, what were you doing full time? What was, you know?
Yeah, I wasn't doing music full time. I was doing music. I was doing sessions, but not every day. And I put out a song. I actually had a song on the radio in Toronto. My first song ever like got on the radio, because we have this like program in Canada called iHeartRadio's Future Star. And basically it's because we need more Canadian content on air. And so there's like, I should honestly know the name of this because I studied music in university, but I forget what it is. But basically, yeah, there's these things, and for our economy, it's better if Canadian artists are on the radio and whatever. And so the radio needs to have a certain percent of Canadian artists. So my first song got chosen for this thing. And so it was all over the radio, and I was like, so I was doing that, but then I was still kind of, I was working part-time, and it wasn't until like after the pandemic until I was like full into music.
I know you did like the reworked covers and stuff. Like, so I think it was the Plain White Tees one that was kind of, was that the one that really blew up for you?
Yeah. Well, cause that was the trend. That was the first trend I saw that was like, "Hey there, Delilah," like switch the perspective. And I was like, after I did that, I was like, oh, like I can do this for so many songs. Like, that would be easy. And so I did it for a bunch of songs. And then I kind of just stopped after I felt like I ran out of all the songs. I was like, okay. Now, years later, I could probably do it with so many more songs, and I should really do it. But
yeah, I did. I actually had that written here. Like, if there were any songs now from that period that you were like, oh, I'd like to do a reworked version. I miss doing that one. So clearly there are, but do you have any examples?
Yeah. I mean, no, because I feel like now there's new songs that I should do it about, but I kind of exhausted all of the options back in 2020.
This kind of led to getting on the Newfound Simple Plan tour. Was that kind of through the... really big on TikTok? Was it Chad from Newfound Glory? Did he kind of notice you or something?
I don't think it was a TikTok thing that got me on that tour, but I mean, maybe the TikTok thing got me a publishing deal, and it got me to move to LA. And then when I was in LA, and then I was like releasing music, and I felt like then I started gaining more of a following for sure, and you know, getting added to more Spotify playlists. And that's where Chad found me from Newfound Glory. He was looking in a Spotify playlist called Pop Punk's Not Dead, because that's what they were calling their tour. And I was, third name on that playlist, and he was like, "Oh, I like this chick," and they asked me to open, which was awesome.
Very nice. But you know, obviously the pandemic got in the way of that a little bit, but
I still went on the tour, but it was supposed to be with Simple Plan as well, and then Simple Plan backed out last minute because they weren't comfortable with like touring during COVID, which you know totally get, because everyone was getting COVID on tour. So but the tour ended up being totally fine, and I wasn't sure if I ever got COVID. I don't think, same with Newfound Glory. So we actually kind of got out unscathed, and it was a super successful tour. But
who jumped on that? Was it Less Than Jake or Hot Mulligan or
both? So it was both.
Simple
Plan got replaced by Less Than Jake and Hot Mulligan, and that's so it ended up being four bands instead of three, and it was honestly so awesome. I love both of those bands. Didn't know of them before the tour, but now love both of them.
Have you done the Krista Makes His podcast before?
I haven't. I would love to, though. I love Chris.
Yeah, it's really interesting the way he dissects songs. So I think it'd be interesting to have you on that.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
So had Hopeless kind of been like knocking on your door prior to that tour, or
I think they knew who I was because I started popping up on the playlist and stuff. So they knew who I was, but. Yeah, you know what? Before I announced the tour, I think before I announced the tour, they were already talking to me. And then I told them about the tour. Or they already knew, obviously, because they had Newfound Glory at the time. Sorry. But it just kind of was like a perfect storm. And then I ended up signing to them on tour. And then it was really cool because Newfound Glory would be like, I would sing a song with Newfound Glory every night. And they would be like, "Introducing our newest label mate." And it was really cute.
Oh, that was a nice thing to happen for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess you've been with Hopeless since. The people I know at Hopeless are really cool people. Who's your favorite artist on Hopeless aside from yourself?
Mm-hmm. Oh my god, I mean, I want to right away say Scene Queen, but I feel bad for everyone else that I love. But I do love
Scene. I thought that'd be a tough question. Yeah.
Yeah, it is a tough question. I just like, me and Hannah are pretty close friends, and I just think what she's doing is really, really cool because it's so different.
Yeah.
You know, it's so like, she's really done such a good job at like making herself into such a thing and like such a specific brand, which I think is, and just so easily identifiable. I think it's very, very impressive. And I think she's a very smart lady. So I'll pick Hannah. Just, you know, God do it for the girls. Yeah. But I love so many artists, though. No Offense, Dan Atlantic, like so many.
Yeah, we had to. So I spent a lot of time at that Hopeless mixer talking to Noah. And we had Noah on the show not long after that. Who's
so nice. Who was awesome. Yeah. He's so nice. Yeah.
New record out as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So actually, speaking of that mixer, so that Slam Dunk trip, that wasn't your first UK run, was it? Because did you come with Leah Kate the year before?
Yeah, it was my second time in the UK.
Okay. And had you been to the UK like outside of music prior to
No, my first time was on tour with Leah Kate in 2022 in the fall. Okay. Yeah, which was so fun. And we did London on my birthday.
Nice.
And it was like such a good show. It was like my favorite show the whole tour, probably. We did London. We did two nights at the Islington Academy in like the smaller room instead of doing the bigger room. We just like did two nights. They both sold out. It was awesome.
Oh, in the room upstairs. That's very cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, nice. Any favorite UK spots now that you've been here a couple of times?
Like food spots?
No, I guess. Do you know what?
Like, Whack Mama's awesome.
We could go food spot. I just meant in general, like cities and towns and stuff, but food spots, we could go that as well. Yeah.
I'm dead. Well, I love Wagamama so much. My band, literally, whenever we're in the UK, we just go there for every like lunch and dinner. And I feel like people from the UK don't actually like love it as much as tourists. That's like a thing, right?
Well, here's the thing with Wagamama. Like it is good. The food is very decent. But their whole thing, and they've done this since day one, is they come out and they'll say, "Have you ever been here before?" And you're like, if you say no or yes, well, it doesn't matter. But what they want, the point they're getting to is, "Oh, just so you know, the food comes out at different times." And they think they've got a pass to just do what they want because they've said that. Like you could have, your coffee could come after the meal, and then they're going to come bring your starter and just like, "Hey, it's just how we do things." And they've got away with doing that the whole time. And there's no reason for them to do it. You'd be like, why? And they're like, well, it's because the food's cooked fresh. And you're like, well, that's what restaurants do, but that's their little hack that they've got away with somehow.
That's really funny. That's so true, though. I've definitely had that before. But my favorite spots, you know what? So this past tour, I was out with Against the Current, and we went to, I really liked Nottingham. I thought that was a cool place. And same with, I love Manchester. I mean, I love London. So I pretty much liked every place in the UK. Like, I just love the UK. I feel like it's such a good vibe. And I just love, whenever I've been there, it's been like the Christmas markets, and it's just like such a magical time. So I got to say, I don't really even have a favorite. I like everything.
Awesome. We're very short on time now. So I'm just going to, like, a couple of final questions, if that's cool for you, and then we can wrap this up. Aside from Billy Joe Armstrong, who I assume would fall into this category, is there anyone else you've been particularly starstruck by since you've kind of been in the music world and rubbing shoulders with people?
Like, that I've met?
Yeah, sorry.
I mean, I was definitely really starstruck when I met Simple Plan.
Yeah, you were on the reworking of I'm Just a Kid, which
that was insanity. That was after I met them. But yeah, the first time I met them, I was actually going to have meeting them before the tour and to have a writing session with them. And it was like in Ojai, which is like an hour and a half away or an hour away from where I live. And I actually thought I was going to throw up in the car because I was so I was so nervous. I'm trying to think who else I've met that I was starstruck by. I don't really get starstruck that often. So I would say maybe that.
Yeah. I mean, Canadian heroes, so it makes sense, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
What else have you got planned for 2024 that you're allowed to say at this point? I know you mentioned the album, so I assume.
Yeah, when is this coming out?
I'll probably release this week after next, 2 weeks from now.
So after April 4th?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. I mean, I can, if you're announcing something on April 4th, I can.
Yeah. Well, I'm announcing my album. Yeah. That's like my main thing that I'm super excited for is album, and then hopefully headline dates around that. I'm announcing a tour soon. Oh, I think I'm going to have been announcing it already after April 4th. Yeah. Before April 4th, I mean. So yeah, a summer tour. Okay. Unfortunately not in the UK, but hopefully in the fall I'll be back in the UK, but I'm still planning, but that's what I'm hoping for.
Final question. What current artists should we be listening to now? You know, big or small, some that we might not know about perhaps.
That you might not know about?
Yeah.
I have to look at my playlist. So Boy Genius is my current obsession, but you probably know about them. I would assume.
Yeah.
My roommate actually and my best friend just put out an EP. His artist name is just Gus, but his Instagram is You Love Gus, and I think he's fucking awesome. So
okay, good shout out.
Yeah.
Okay, is that Gus spelled G-U-S?
Yes.
Look out for him, listeners.
Yeah.
On that note, I think we can wrap this up. Enjoy the rest of your day. I guess it's still late morning for you. So
it's 31 a.m. All right. Have a good one. Have a good night.
All right. Thank you. Great to meet you. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.